Welcome to the Clear Admit MBA Admissions Podcast. I'm Graham Richmond, and today we have a really special treat. Many of our listeners have asked us to keep getting these like firsthand accounts from MBA students and graduates so as to better understand people's experiences and, you know, to some extent, the challenges that they faced in applying to and attending business school, even getting jobs, the whole nine yards. And so we've also heard that listeners like it when we talk to admissions, admissions officers and deans of admissions. And so today we have actually a really great combination of those two themes. And it's basically, we're going to hear from someone who has not only earned an MBA, but did it while raising a family and working full time. And by the way, our special guest today is also the Associate Dean of Admissions and Marketing for a leading MBA program. And so the guest today is Shelley Heinrich from Georgetown McDonough School of Business. Welcome, Shelley.
Hi, glad to be here. Thanks, Graham, for having me.
Oh, no, it's my pleasure. So just in case our listeners don't know too much about you, I just wanted to give a quick bio. So as I said earlier, you lead MBA admissions in both kind of marketing and operational strategy for the full-time and flex MBA at Georgetown McDonough. You also, it sounds like, do a lot of work developing the overall marketing strategy for the team and managing both internal and external kind of marketing functions that you guys utilize. And you're no stranger to this domain of higher ed. I know you've been working for like 13 years across a couple of different sectors, but with a heavy emphasis on higher ed. And I know you did your master's at UT Austin in education. Undergrad was at Texas Christian. And of course, you've got an executive MBA from the McDonough School of Business. So really interesting background. And I guess where I wanted to start was I wanted to know a little bit about the career path that you had pre-MBA and like, how did you decide that you wanted to get the degree? Because, you know, you were already working in higher ed and admissions at a fairly high level too. So where did this idea of getting the MBA come from?
Yeah. So, you know, I started out my career in corporate at American Airlines, and then, you know, due to personal reasons, ended up getting a job at Syracuse University up in Syracuse, New York. And at that point, realized my passion for higher education. What you quickly realize in higher ed is that they value degrees. And so I knew I had to go back and get an advanced degree. And at that point, I decided to go back to UT Austin. In Texas, they had the number one ranked school of education at the time, and so it was close to family. So went back and did the higher ed degree there, and you know, after that went and worked for an educational nonprofit in Washington D.C., and then switched to business school and have never looked back. But you know, throughout the time I think of working at business school, I drank the Kool-Aid in a way, and it had always kind of been another personal goal of mine to go back and do an MBA. But you know, life happens. It was never the right timing. My husband and I are a dual career couple. So as many of your listeners may know, being a dual career family has its rewards, but it is challenging. And then, you know, we had our first child. And so at that point, I, you know, thought I had checked the box on grad school and didn't think it would be fair or right of me to go back. You know, so my son was my priority. So that's kind of the background leading up to the decision of getting an MBA.
And so... What is it? So how did you kind of go from, so you had your first child, you know, you're kind of feeling like, oh, maybe I shouldn't go back. You know, that's not the priority right now. But then something clicked and you decided to go for it. So what, yeah, how did you make the decision?
Yeah, you know, it was one of those things that kept nagging at me every year. And I started working at Georgetown. And honestly, out of the four business schools that I worked at, just fell in love with the community and really was wowed at the level of education experience. And, you know, I think my husband and I were out for a date night one night, and we were just talking about life and goals. And I was talking about how, you know, my bucket list, how I'd always wanted to go back and do an MBA. And the next week, you know, my husband actually looked up an info session for the executive MBA at Georgetown. Now, granted, I worked there. He looked it up. He registered me and he said, you need to go to this. And so I went and, you know, obviously really liked it. And he said, if you want to do this, he said, I'm all in. And I think it's important to know that because if you do have kids, you have to have a support network, whether it's parents, whether it's you nannies or sitters, whether it's your partner or spouse. And so he said he was all in. Now, granted, he was also working full time and doing grad school at the time. So when I say that people can do anything, you know, you really can. So, you know, but so that's kind of how I ended up walking down the path to applying.
So, okay. So he signed you up for the EMBA info session, but had you given some thought to the type of program? Because I think a lot of people, once they, you know, have started a family or are kind of a little bit into their career, there's this sort of decision process that can be quite challenging around, do I do a kind of traditional full-time, you know, two-year MBA program? Do I look at part-time for like working professionals or executive? Like how did you know which was right for you? Or was there any debate where you're like, oh, I'm far enough in my career where executive makes sense? Or how did you like land on this?
Yeah, I think there were three main decision criterias. One was the scheduling, honestly. You know, our part-time MBA had classes in the evening, and I knew I wasn't going to be able to do that because my husband's work hours were just not as flexible. And so obviously we needed someone home to watch the kids. And I didn't want to go to multiple full work and school days without seeing my son. And so the executive MBA at Georgetown is all day Friday, all day Saturday. And so scheduling was going to work out best for balancing family in my life. And at the time, I also had 13 years of post-undergraduate work experience and a master's degree. So I wanted to kind of be in class with people more at my same career level. Typically, executive MBAs, the average years of work experience is right around 13, 14.
Okay.
Whereas a part-time MBA, the average is typically around 5. So those are the two reasons. The third reason was, you know, I wasn't looking to do a major career switch or pivot. I love higher ed and marketing. That's kind of where I see myself for the short term. So, you know, if you are looking to do a major career switch or pivot, then part-time or full-time might be better for you.
Okay. Yeah, that's great advice. And I think a really important consideration. I totally agree about, you know, when you're switching careers, sometimes, yeah, it's good to do a kind of full-time or part-time. So that makes sense. I guess this is, I'm going to put you on the spot. Did they make you apply? Like, cause you're working at Georgetown and you're working for the business school, but it sounds like the EMBA was not under your purview, but so did you have to just go through the regular process?
Yeah. So no, it's a great question. No, they didn't make me apply. I was actually a little nervous to ask my boss if it was going to be okay. Right. Because I was going to have to take every other Friday off of work. And so even before I applied, I remember approaching my boss at the time and laying out this entire proposal of how I plan to get all my work done and how, so no, they didn't make me. And, you know, yes, executive MBA was under a different department, different dean. And so I had to apply, you know, just like everyone else. And then the way it works at Georgetown is they only allow 5 people from the university to do the executive MBA. And so, you know, I competed with everyone else applying. I mean, obviously I worked in McDonough, you know, I did know some of the people, so I'm not going to say there was a complete firewall, but I did apply like, you know, everyone else. And then was glad that my boss supported me at the time.
Yeah. And I think that's actually an interesting, question here, because I feel like when one does an EMBA, it often, I mean, you're talking about support from, you know, family and, you know, spouse or, you know, parents, sitters, et cetera. But I think also having that support from, you know, your employer is really important to be able to make that time, like you said, the Fridays in this case. Is that a fair assumption? I mean, it seems like that's kind of a part of it for a lot of people.
Yeah, it is. But I think when you approach your employer, you have to both not only, you know, ask for the time, but then also tell them what the employer is going to be gaining. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I think anyone with an MBA can say that they gained a new language, a business language. They gained frameworks that they could immediately apply to their daily job. You know, they were able to think more critically using best practices from other industries. So there's a lot that the employer is gaining if they allow their, you know, employees to go back and do education, especially an MBA. It's very applicable. So, mm-hmm. So you have to think of it in both of those ways.
And so, okay, so you apply and you're one of the 5 lucky folks from within the university who can get a slot in the program. Tell me a little bit about, like, how worried were you about, you know, planning for this juggle of school, work, family?
Yeah.
And did the school, like, help set these expectations? Like, how hands-on were they? Because, you know, you're sitting with an acceptance letter and then you've got to take the leap. Like, were they helpful in helping you to kind of, you know, plan for all this and know what it was going to take?
Yeah, you know, I just kept telling myself, if others did it before me, then I could too. And honestly, I mean, I repeated it in my head anytime I had doubts. So even after I was admitted, I still had doubts. And I remember specifically the moment when I decided that I could do this. There's a woman at McDonough still today who had done the executive MBA before me, and she had given birth to two children while she was doing her executive MBA.
Wow.
And so I remember having coffee with her at Starbucks, and after hearing her story, I honestly said, okay, if she can do this, then anyone can, honestly, but you know, if she can do this, then I can do this. And so I think it's important for people to have always role models, especially in life in general. It's good, but in making these type of decisions, have someone that you kind of can look up to say, okay, I can do this. You know, they went through this challenge, they overcome this challenge or overcame this challenge, and then they were successful. So for me, that was the catalyst moment for deciding. You know, what was interesting to me though in my decision process and what surprised me most was, you know, some of the judgment I received from other women, people that I highly respect. You know, I remember sharing with people that I had been admitted and I was considering attending. And I kind of got some of the looks like, how are you going to do it all? You have a child. Like, are you making the right decision? And, you know, I think you can't listen to some of those voices. You know, if you want to do something and you believe you have the support network and you know you have to do it, you have to believe in yourself and believe in you know, your capabilities. And so that was something that surprised me. And sometimes it was what fueled my fire to do it the most. And I think in terms of, you know, how you prioritize each week, you have to determine your priority. So you have three, or at least I had three. One was work. Obviously, I still wanted to do well there. One was family. I still wanted to do well there. And one was school. And you can't excel at all three at any given time. You just can't. And so perhaps one week was exam week and I would focus on school and studying. Maybe one week was, you know, my son's birthday or my husband's birthday. And so I would focus on, you know, doing family time. And then another week we had major deadlines at work. And so I'd have to focus on that. So you're constantly juggling. But if you think of it like that, okay, let's reprioritize constantly, then that's a more manageable way to think about accomplishing it all.
Yeah, and I think I'm now thinking about you working on, you know, obviously you're still working in admissions, you've got deadlines, as you said, there's some weeks that are crazy in the MBA admissions world. And I'm wondering, like, having been through the application process, again, you know, for the EMBA, but you're reading applications for FLACS and for the traditional MBA at McDonough, did you suddenly like feel a different level of affinity for the people that you whose stories you were reading and the people you're evaluating? Like, did this change the way you're doing your job in some way?
It's so funny that you asked that because yes, it is very different being on the other side. I mean, at the time I applied, I think, you know, I had been working in admissions for, I don't know, 6 or 7 years, so had probably read thousands of applications, had interviewed thousands of people. And when I had to sit down and answer the essay question, it was very eye-opening. I mean, it's a very introspective process. But I appreciated it because it really allowed me to think about, you know, what do I want to do in my career? Like, why am I doing this? And then how do I articulate it? And so in some ways it was very helpful because we often don't make time for ourselves to think about our career.
Right.
You know, in interviewing, I was so nervous interviewing. I mean, again, it's so silly. I write interview questions, like I interview people, but I was so nervous going into the interview, and it was a group interview. You know, but it's so good to go through it because I can now talk about it with more empathy.
Yeah. I've actually, you know, ClearAdmit has done a lot of essay workshops with schools, and I've always like it's always been a dream of mine to like ask admissions officers an essay question, just like on the spot, sort of like, you know, ask the head of a school to just answer like ad hoc, like what the you know what they would say if they had to write their school's essay, because it really is a totally different experience, right, to be on the other side of the equation there. But it sounds like it gave you a lot of perspective, which is terrific.
Yeah.
I mean, that's gotta have helped. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about a typical week. I mean, you mentioned that, you know, you might have to prioritize different areas of your life depending on what was going on, but let's just focus on the MBA program for a second. Like, what does it look like? I mean, you mentioned Fridays and Saturdays are when the classes take place, but I'm assuming there are other things happening, right, outside of that. So can you walk me through like a week in the MBA program?
Yeah, definitely. So classes were all day Friday, all day Saturday, every other week. And then there are four 1 week residencies that are spread over 2 years. Two of them are global, two of them are domestic. You know, in general, obviously, the Fridays and Saturdays were full of classes, but then there would be group work. So a lot of the classes come with group projects, group presentations. And I think for me, having a family, I wanted to be able to come home from work and be a mom for, you know, 2 or 3 hours, put my son to bed, and then do group conference calls. And there were a lot of other people in the same boat where, you know, they waited till their children went to bed, and then we jumped on, you know, group work. And people, I think, were fine with that and flexible with it. I think, you know, if you travel for work, you know, I did too. Lots of people travel, consulting, you know, just there's a lot of industries that travel. And you can still balance it all. I remember, you know, going to Asia for recruitment and doing conference calls with my team at, you know, 9 a.m. Asia time or 8 a.m. Asia time to East Coast time. And I would relish getting on those 12-hour flights because I would do all my homework. And so you start to think about all the pieces of your quote unquote free time that you can fill with studying. And then you also look at what can be second priority. So, you know, and I love to cook. I mean, I've always just loved cooking, but I didn't really cook much over those 2 years, and that was okay, right? Like, laundry tended to pile up in our, you know, room more than I would have liked it, but that wasn't a priority because the other things were a priority. So yeah, you just really economize your time. I actually took lunch breaks at work. I'd never done it before, but I would actually close my office door and read for lunch. I would get there like 20 minutes early. I would read, and you start to realize how much quote unquote fat you have in your diet, like how much time you waste on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And you fill that with studying. So
yeah, that's a good point. I often feel like the busier I am, the more I get done.
Yeah.
You know, sort of like when you're juggling all these different things, somehow you go into a higher gear. Let's talk a little bit about the differences between, you know, you just, I think, did a good job of outlining the format for the executive MBA program at McDonough. But I know for the benefit of our listeners who are looking at like part-time or flex or even a traditional MBA, do you want to just talk, I know you touched on like what the normal work experience might be in terms of average years, but just in terms of the format of these programs, because I personally think people don't always have a clear understanding, particularly when it comes to like the flex / part-time offering. So if you could outline these three kind of offerings, that would be great.
Yeah, definitely. So full-time MBA is the traditional MBA. It's where you leave work for 20 months and you go back to really focus on both earning the degree, but also your career. I mean, if you look at our incoming students, over 80% of them are career switchers, meaning they switch their function or their industry. And a full-time MBA is the perfect degree for that. Employers, in fact, expect that people are making a pivot upon graduation. And so it's not as big of a sell to employers because they know what they're getting when they hire MBAs, and they know they're getting someone that is capable of doing a career pivot. The full-time MBA obviously comes with an internship between the first and second year, and then based on different programs can come with other consulting experiences, other hands-on employment experiences, and then a curriculum that provides a breadth of topics across all business disciplines. Secondly is what's called part-time MBAs. And again, at different schools, these are all called different names. But in general, they're part-time MBA. At Georgetown, it's called the Flex MBA, but it's meant for working professionals. So it is meant that you stay working full-time, and then you take classes in the evening or on the weekend or, you know, in a hybrid format. And so Georgetown's Flex MBA is 26 months to 5 years. And you know, you can choose the timing as well as the when you take the classes. The one thing that part-time MBAs don't typically come with are internships, because you're working full-time. So that would make sense.
Right.
And so it is still possible to do a career pivot, but you know, it's just going to be a little more work on your end.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last is an executive MBA. And I should say the full-time and part-time MBAs are typically 5 years of work experience on average, anywhere between, you know, 3 and 6, but about 5.
Mm-hmm.
Executive MBAs, you know, about 13, 14 years of work experience on average, typically a minimum of like 8, depending on schools. And they don't typically have as much access to the career center as a full-time and flex. And so they don't have typically access to on-campus recruiting,
mm-hmm.
you know, employer info sessions, because they are above the average age of what MBA employers are looking for.
Right.
They do typically have executive coaching and other access to career resources, but it's just different.
Okay.
And then the other difference, you know, is typically less of, you know, options of electives than like a full-time and flex. So it's typically a cohort-based group voting system, which I found perfectly fine to suit my needs. But definitely listeners should look into all the three different options to figure out what works best for them.
Yeah, that's great advice. I think, it really depends where you are with your career and also, what you're trying to do, what you're trying to accomplish in terms of a pivot, as you say, versus maybe just accelerating where you are. Thanks for explaining that. I know a lot of our listeners don't, you know, this is all new for folks that are just kind of embarking on the application process. So really good to have that explanation. So now that you have an MBA, what's changed for you in your professional life? And I know we talked about how maybe you empathize a bit more with the applicants since you've been an applicant yourself to business school. But in terms of the, you know, where the rubber hits the road, like how is your work life changed since you earned this degree, both in terms of, I don't know, have you been promoted or, you know, are you doing things differently? Like how has this impacted your work life?
Yeah. So, I would say, you know, first, I speak another language. I know people always say that about an MBA, but it is true. And it's because you have so much repetition over 2 years of new concepts and new ideas that, that you use. And so when you come out, you do use different words. You do use different frameworks and concepts. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to go back and get an MBA, is because I was around so many other MBAs that were using these concepts and words, and I felt like I was at a disadvantage. And so I speak another language. When you're in a program that makes you take a breadth of courses, you know, everything from stats to finance to econ to accounting, things in the world start to click, you know, things that you're reading on the business news or in the Wall Street Journal as it relates to business. It started to make sense now. And it makes sense, you know, even today. And so, I think that's different. You know, yes, I did start out when I started the program, I was as a director at McDonough, and then during the program moved into an assistant dean position. And then now I'm an associate dean. You know, part of that is circumstances of people leaving and great mentors, certainly that advocated, you know, but I would like to think that hopefully doing the executive MBA, you know, helped to make me perhaps more suited and competitive for those career progressions. So, yeah. And, you know, I think the other thing is there were classes that when I was going back to do the MBA, I was not looking forward to be very honest. I took them in undergrad, classes like stats and econ, and just really didn't like them. And those were some of my favorite classes, Professor, you know, Comrade or Mocker, Miller and stats and economics. Those classes were phenomenal. And I think as an adult, when you go back and take some of these classes, it's just a different experience than when you do it in undergrad. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's a great point. I feel like when you get a professor who's, you know, at the caliber of, you know, the types that we would see at a place like Georgetown or, you know, any leading kind of business school, they can really bring a subject matter to life. And it's almost like, I remember someone once told me, you know, if you don't like a certain kind of food, go to a fantastic restaurant that makes that food and eat it there, and you'll see that you may actually like it. And so it's almost like that sort of applies here, you know, because I too, when I did my MBA, I wasn't super excited about some of the really heavy quant stuff. But then, you know, I had some amazing professors too. So it really does make a difference. I guess one thing that I wanted to know is, you talked about being able to speak the same language, you know, that you were surrounded by in terms of the student body when you were working in admissions and stuff. What about, has it been useful to kind of, it's almost like you're experiencing the product or, you know, I hate to call it a product, but you're experiencing what you're selling, yeah. right? So you're working in admissions and marketing, and suddenly you have to spend, you know, a couple years going through using the very product that you're marketing. So that must have been eye-opening too.
Yeah, I mean, I loved Georgetown prior to doing my MBA, but I loved my MBA experience. And so now when I go and sell the MBA, I'm authentically selling it. I mean, I talk about all the benefits, and I hope prospective students can hear the passion and excitement in my voice when I talk about it and I talk about the benefits. And so it's like with any product, right? If you're using the product, it's going to be so much easier to authentically talk about the benefits and ROI that you've received from it. So definitely it's helped me in my job. And it gets me excited when I talk about my experience. It gets me re-excited about it.
Yeah. So, I guess one other thing I wanted to ask you is, imagine that someone's tuned in to this episode and they're in the same position you were, maybe not in the same point in their career, but they're on the fence. You know, how do I juggle, maybe a partner, maybe starting a family, work, you know, where does the MBA all fit in and which program's right for me? Do you have any advice as to like how someone like that can find a mentor if they don't have, you know, someone, you know, at work, or maybe they don't want to tell people at work that they're thinking about going off to school. Is there any advice that you would have? I mean, do you guys have, student ambassadors that somebody could talk to, or are there any organizations out there that you think would be good for folks who need that sort of mentor or person just to kind of whose brain they can pick about this kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. All schools and as well as Georgetown have student ambassadors. Reach out to us. Tell them you want to speak with someone who has a child in the program. And we have, I think a couple of years ago, we had 30 babies born in the program 1 year, which was kind of crazy. But there are people that are going through all different life circumstances. And so, you know, find someone, you know, that you can talk to. I'm happy to talk with anyone as well. You know, I think I knew even after I started my MBA, I was still questioning whether this was the right decision for my family, not the degree, but the right decision. And I knew I had made the right decision when my son, who was entering kindergarten at the time, did his first kind of like state assessment that they do. And I got the results back, and he had been placed in the highest reading group, the highest kind of oral fluency group, you know, all of those groups. And I remember taking that piece of paper and honestly like crying, because to me, those fears of like, if I do this, will that affect him in school? Mm-hmm. They were all wiped away. You know, I said, okay, this is possible. Like, he can succeed, you know, I can succeed, my husband, you know, we can all do this if we work together. And so, and you know, to this day, if I ask him, he's 8 now, if I ask him if he remembers me doing grad school, he doesn't. You know, I mean, when they're so young, they don't remember those things. But for me, that was okay. This was the right decision. So reach out to other parents, whether you're the mom or the dad, because you both go through similar challenges mm-hmm. when you're deciding to have a family and deciding to do school. But, you can make it work. And so good luck.
Yeah.
To people.
I think absolutely that's actually really interesting advice, to reach out to a school that you're interested in and even ask to speak with a current student or maybe a recent alum who's done this juggle. It hadn't occurred to me that, you know, that you guys could literally get someone in touch with, you know, a student that, you know, has kids yeah. or, you know, did this sort of juggle. Definitely. So that's really good advice. Is there anything else that you wanted to share about earning your MBA or just about McDonough in general before we wrap here?
You know, no, I think, you know, In MBA, there are very few investments that you can make in yourself that will appreciate over time. I mean, if you think of all those things that you buy and do, you know, getting a degree and the education and the network and the community that you will see receive, it will only continue to pay dividends throughout the rest of your life. And I always think when there are challenges in life or things seem, you know, things seem, you think, wow, can I do this? You can do anything for a short amount of time, right? Like you can live without home cooked meals for 2 years. You can live with like your laundry piling up. You know, you can live without social media for a couple of years if you have to cut back on your, you know, so you can do anything for a short amount of time. And then you'll look back and see what you accomplished and you'll be so glad that you did. So, you know, I just wish your listeners the best of luck in deciding what's best for them and their family. You know, thank you.
Yeah, I think that's really well said. Like, I think, you know, as we've learned during the pandemic, you can live without all kinds of things for periods of time and, you know, make sacrifices. And what's great about an MBA and something that we just say over and over again at ClearAdmit is that it is just a tremendous investment and people just, it opens so many doors and it just, yeah, in many, many ways, it's a benefit, even, you know, the friendships you make and obviously job opportunities and things like that. But yeah, it's just usually it's a transformational experience for people. So anyway, Shelley, I really appreciate you making time to talk about a very personal journey. I just think it's going to be so useful for those listening to know that, you know, everyone has a different story and that it's not always super simple to go get an MBA, but that, you know, as you say, you can persevere and get it done and never look back. So congratulations to you on doing the MBA. And thanks again for making time to join us today.
Thank you so much.
All right. So folks, stay tuned. We've got other episodes of the ClearAdmit MBA Admissions Podcast coming your way. And please remember to rate and review this podcast wherever you listen. Thanks again, Shelley, and we'll see you all soon.